Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the latest Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Zachary Bennett. I host and produce the program. I'm here inside the Cumulus Studios located in Dinkytown, Minneapolis, all by myself today. No guests, no phone calls, nothing of that sort. Be sure to follow the Locked On Wolves podcast at Locked On Wolves. You can find me on Twitter as well, at ZacharyBD. Without any further ado, let's get into the program. Today, we will discuss the Wolves' third quarter woes, go into some detail as far as where the Wolves rank among NBA teams as far as third quarter performance is concerned. I'll give you a little spoiler. It's not pretty. Let's start, however, back to last Thursday is where we'll start. The Wolves were defeated by the Denver Nuggets 102-99, thanks in large part due to an abysmal performance during the third quarter. You already knew that. The Wolves did start the game on a high note, however, scoring a season-high 37 points. That season-high coming thanks in large part to 14 points from Karl Anthony Towns, as well as Andrew Wiggins. The Wolves were in rhythm offensively, although defensively, left a little bit to be desired. Denver shot 45.5% from the field, 40% from the three-point line during the opening frame, and head coach Tom Thibodeau didn't seem all too impressed with the way his team played in the opening quarter, especially late. Did you, Tom?
Yeah, but it started earlier in this game. The end of the first quarter, you know, I sensed that we were just trading baskets with them, and so it was fool's gold, 37 points, but then, you know, we gave them a lot of confidence early in the game.
Yeah, I thought Denver really shared the ball well, excuse me, during the opening quarter, tallying 8 assists on 10 made baskets, and you could tell that, you know, they were establishing a rhythm as the game went on, especially during the first half. The Wolves went into halftime with a 6-point lead, leading 61-55, and then the third quarter happened. There's really not a lot of ways to describe it. A lot of misguided individual efforts, Tom Thibodeau called them.
Play well when you don't shoot well. But, you know, I think part of it right now is, you know, when things aren't going well, the intentions are good to try to get us out of the hole, but they're misguided. We can't do it individually. It has to be done collectively. You know, I thought, you know, we got bogged down. Guys were trying to get us out of the hole by themselves, and you can't do that. And what that leads to is tough shots, poor floor balance, and easy buckets. And so the same thing happened. And then, you know, we gave them 30 in the second, 33 in the third, and then you make a mad rush at the end to, you know, have a shot at it. But it's, you know, it's not the way to go.
That mad rush to have a shot at it was thanks in large part to a five-man bench unit consisting of Tyus Jones, Nemanja Bjelica, Brandon Rush, Shabazz Muhammad, and Cole Aldrich. A little bit more on them in a second. Those misguided individual efforts Thibs was alluding to, potentially Gorgui Dieng and Chris Dunn, if we're naming two names who would be considered the guilty parties, they combine 0-5 from the field. They commit three turnovers between the both of them. Both Gorgui and Chris Dunn, I thought, took one or two shots apiece very early in the shot clock, very ill-advised mid-range jumper-esques. I know Gorgui, there was one play, he's on the left wing from where I'm sitting in the media seat, and he's trying to drive, and he almost put up a runner, and it was just, it was a runner-looking thing, and it just was not, it was not pretty. But neither of those players end up scoring any points in the third quarter. Gorgui Dieng did not have a very good game at all. Probably his worst game of the season, frankly. And, you know, Thibodeau gave it to the bench unit. He said it himself afterwards that those guys were playing as a team, both offensively and defensively, moving the ball well. Nemanja Bjelica especially, a guy I have always been pretty high on, higher than most, I'd say, did a lot to get the Wolves back in the game. If you look at the lineup data, thanks to NBA.com, the Tyus Jones, Nemanja Bjelica, Cole Aldrich, Shabazz Muhammad, Brandon Rush lineup played 5 minutes in the final frame of the loss to Denver and outscored Denver 12-9, helping the Wolves outscore Denver in the quarter 24-14. During the middle of the final frame, Thibodeau brings in Zach LaVine, Karl-Anthony Towns, and Andrew Wiggins, the heavy hitters, as I'll call them. And that lineup goes to outscore Denver 12-5. And Nemanja Bjelica, I thought he made a good amount of plays. There was one specific shot that he turned down with just under 2 minutes to go that, had he taken it and shot it, would have tied the game, and instead he elects to pump fake and drive to the rim, and he misses a runner. Even when he was driving to the rim, I thought he could have tossed the lob to Karl-Anthony Towns, would have had a nice highlight reel worthy alley-oop play. But in the end, the Wolves have a chance to The Wolves have a chance to tie the game on a last-second shot. I thought it was going to go to LaVine. Bjelica sets a screen on the left wing for LaVine. Turns out LaVine is the decoy. Ball goes into Bjelica. Bjelica puts it up. Shot goes halfway down, bounces out, and that was that. Not much else you can do. I thought it was a good play design by Thibodeau. I thought Nemanja Bjelica had a lot to do with why the Wolves were able to get back into the game. And despite a lot of his shortcomings and some of the mistakes that he did make, Bjelica got you the chance to get back in the game, so to give him a chance to tie the game. I don't necessarily think that was a bad call at all. Maybe the play was supposed to go to LaVine and it just didn't, and they went to a secondary option. Who knows? At the end of the day, the Wolves had a chance to tie the game late, thanks in large part due to a bench unit that was playing well and together. Together being the key word in the fourth quarter. But, ultimately they didn't get the job done, and that was that. Nemanja Bjelica spoke the next day after the Wolves had a lengthy film session with Tom Thibodeau about taking over in the fourth quarter and playing with some aggressiveness.
Yeah, I tried to be more aggressive and, to stay in good rhythm. And, when you give 100% and when you start to play good defense, after that you will get confidence in offense. So it was good game, but we have problems with tough loss, and we have big problems with third quarter, so we need to find a way to play much better, and that's it. Second unit need to play more aggressive, and like we need to stay together and to try to play like in preseason.
And so the Wolves, shortly thereafter, would fly to Oklahoma City, hoping to bounce back from a loss and perhaps catch a Thunder team that is a day removed, or was a day removed, rather, from a back-to-back set against the Clippers and the Golden State Warriors, respectively. You know, much hype, much drama, much things said and written about the showdown between Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant, in which Kevin Durant won handedly. But before we get into what happened in the matchup between the Wolves and the Thunder on Saturday night, I'm going to talk to you about SeatGeek, because the NBA season is back, and SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to find tickets for the games you want to see up close in person. There's nothing like being at the game, watching the biggest plays, even if they don't go your way, much like they didn't in the Wolves' loss to Denver. But nevertheless, it's never been easier to get the seats you want for a great value, thanks to SeatGeek. An app that has the best deals on every ticket in the house, wherever you want to sit, courtside, club seats, upper level, whatever. With SeatGeek, you always get the best deal on every ticket because SeatGeek compares the prices for you by searching all of the different ticket sites out there, comparing and contrasting prices with one another and giving each ticket a rating. And that's how SeatGeek helps you get the most bang for your buck. Every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on its value, and you'll immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. Plus, every ticket you buy on SeatGeek is backed by their 100% guarantee. Best of all, listeners to this podcast, my listeners, you people, get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. Here's how it goes down. Here's what you got to do. Download the SeatGeek app. Go to the settings tab and click add a promo code. Enter promo code LOWOLVES. That's LOWOLVES, you know, Locked On Wolves podcast. LOWOLVES is the promo code. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. So go in, download the SeatGeek app. You'll have to enter the code LOWOLVES. And after you've made your first purchase, SeatGeek will refund you $20. So great things. Fun times. Anyway, on to the Wolves' loss to the Oklahoma City Thunder on Saturday night. The Wolves come up short, 112-92. This despite an incredibly impressive performance from Karl-Anthony Towns, one that some may say they expect to repeat throughout the duration of the season. But during the first half, Karl-Anthony Towns shoots 10 of 14 en route to 25 first half points, hits 2 3-pointers, didn't get a lot of calls. He only took 3 free throws. He made all 3 of them, of course, but just going and battling down low against Steven Adams. I thought there were a lot of plays that could have ended with Karl-Anthony Towns making a trip to the foul line. That's not a homer bias or anything like that. I think if you listen to the broadcast, Jim Peterson and Dave Benz would both agree there. But the Wolves end up going into halftime trailing Oklahoma City by 6, 59-53. And then, as we've seen before this season, the Wolves end up putting forth a rather, frankly, poor performance during the third frame in which they were outscored 31-19. Russell Westbrook paved the way during that third frame with 10 points, and he ended up finishing the game with nearly a triple-double. He's basically a walking triple-double at this point in his career after the departure of Kevin Durant. He shoots 4 of 7 in that third frame, makes 2 of 2 from behind the three-point line, has 2 steals, tallies 2 assists to go along with it. The Thunder end up getting some contributions from Victor Oladipo and Steven Adams as well. 9 points between those two guys. They combine to shoot 3 of 4 from the field and 1 of 1 from behind the three-point line. Victor Oladipo making the 3, of course, not Steven Adams. That would just be silly. Just a really physical brand of basketball that Oklahoma City has played in recent seasons. They continue to play even after the departure of Kevin Durant. I don't think that has changed at all. Andre Robertson, still a good defender, still a guy who can beat you offensively if you fall asleep, like Wiggins did in the third quarter, which, you know, just under the 9-minute mark in the third quarter, Wiggins was caught sleeping, and Andre Robertson slipped behind him for a baseline dunk. Adams hit him with the pass. It was a nice pass, and you know, that started the downfall. On the very next possession, Chris Dunn and Karl-Anthony Towns miscommunicated on a post-entry play, leading to an ugly Dunn turnover. When Zach LaVine jogged back on defense, he could not defend Russell Westbrook. Thibs called a timeout. The Wolves tried to run a play for LaVine. It was well defended, and they had to resort with Cat in an isolation set. Didn't really go too well for him. He got his own rebound, though, and then traveled, and the ball went to Oklahoma City. And just one mistake after another, that was just a certain sequence. If you want to read a full description of the downfall during the third quarter that the Wolves endured, go to awolfamongwolves.com. Andy Grimsrud wrote an excellent recap in which he described all of the miscues and, you know, at least notable miscues that occurred during the third frame that ended up leading to the Wolves' demise in this game. In the fourth quarter, the Wolves get outscored 20-22, much like Thibodeau described it happened in the first quarter against Denver. The Wolves ultimately just end up trading baskets and never really clawed themselves back into the game. None of the starters played the fourth quarter. Thibs actually cracked the thin glass around John Lucas III, Jordan Hill, and Adrian Payne. Not really a lot to draw from the fourth quarter, but definitely some concern if you're a Wolves fan at how the Wolves have been performing in the third quarter this year. Just how bad have they performed? Wolves opponents have outscored them 144-96 in the third frame this year. It's the worst net rating in the NBA by far. There is hope, though. Or there is some solace to be taken in the Wolves' 1-4 start. The largest difference between net rating and record is the Wolves, the 1-4 start, but a positive 4.4 net rating, which is a top 10 net rating in the league. I know the Wolves entered the Saturday night's contest against Oklahoma City as one of the top five defensive teams in terms of points allowed per 100 possessions. They end up falling to just at 13th. Yep, 13th with 101 points allowed per 100 possessions, in contrast to the 105.3 points per 100 possessions that they score. So a very good net rating. There's solace to be taken there. The counter argument is a lot of those stats are inflated after the Wolves defeated a Memphis team that didn't bring any of their starters. So it's concerning the way the Wolves have played in the third quarters. Is it a trend? Who knows? It is a trend now. Is it something that can't be fixed? I'm not going to go that far. I don't expect to see the Wolves struggle during third quarters throughout the entire season. But what is certain is that the Wolves miss that calming presence that Ricky Rubio provides when they need a basket. We heard it earlier on the program, Tom Thibodeau talking about how more or less people are trying to go hero ball, misguided intentions, trying to get their team back in the game. It's tough to fault players who are trying to make plays for their teams, but it's important to stay level-headed in those intense situations, I imagine, and stick to what you know, stick to what you work on in practice, stick to what you study in film, as the Wolves have done, and just try to get through it. It's not an insurmountable, 1-4, going 1-4 to start the season is not an insurmountable deficit by any stretch of the imagination. The Wolves could end up rifling off some wins here in the next few days. They play a very beatable Brooklyn Nets team on Tuesday, tomorrow, in Brooklyn, inside the Barclays Center, where the Wolves were once upon a time the first team, visiting team, to log a win inside the Barclays Center, which is just a fun fact that I know. And they have the Clippers on Saturday, but before they come home and face the Clippers at Target Center, they take on the Orlando Magic, a team that is also definitely beatable. So despite all of the third quarter nonsense that's gone on, definitely concerning third quarter nonsense, the Wolves have played well for stretches at a time. I definitely think they held their own against Oklahoma City in that first half. But when you don't play four quarters of tried and true basketball in the NBA, the best basketball league in the world, it's not enough to get it done. So let's just chalk it up to growing pains, and we'll just continue to see how Thibs gets his players to respond. And tomorrow is definitely a good opportunity for the Wolves to go out and get a win against a team that should, on paper, shouldn't be able to compete with the Timberwolves. They're not nearly as talented. They're not nearly as well coached. And, it's the Brooklyn Nets. They're the laughingstock of the Eastern Conference. That's all for today. Glad we could catch up. I hope everybody enjoyed the wonderful weather that the Twin Cities experienced over the weekend. Until tomorrow, my name is Zachary Bennett. Be sure to check out all of the other shows on the Locked On Podcast Network. Follow the Locked On Podcast, the Locked On Wolves Podcast at Locked On Wolves. You can find me on Twitter at Zachary BD. But until tomorrow. So long. Thanks for listening. Adios, toodles, hasta luego, auf Wiedersehen.
You are Locked On
Goodbye.
Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.